Well, folks, you know you're in for a treat when you hear that tune. So it's time for another week of the Rec Poker Podcast. This is the forums edition of the podcast where we get together to talk strategy. And I'm Jim Reed, Bluffsterini in the home game and at Rec Poker Jim on Twitter. I'm your host tonight because I've got the best freaking job in the world. But I am just one of the moving pieces on the wrecking through our leadership panel here at Rec Poker. I am one of a number of very excited recreational poker players like myself who want to share their love of poker with you. Most of what we do is free here, and so I have to thank our sponsors, the Running Aces Hotel, Racetrack, and Casino, because we depend on their support. We depend on the support of our premium members, but the real movers and shakers are the Wrecking Crew. So if you want to find out more information about me or the rest of the Wrecking Crew, you can head to rec.poker/crew. But don't take my word for it. You're going to meet a few of them tonight, starting with producing co-host Chris Jones.
I'm Chris Jones. You can find me 5v5 on Threads or 5x5 in the Poker Stars home game.
I'm Kim Kilroy. I am Pet Vet or Pet Vet 33 on most social platforms. Fergie 56 in the home game.
I'm Rob Washam, and I'm Rabman 50 just about everywhere.
And I'm Taylor Moss. You can find me on Twitter at Taylor_Moss or in the Rec Poker home game as Gopherboy TJM.
So this is the forums edition of the podcast because on Monday nights after the chats edition, we get together and we take a hand from our forums or occasionally from our Discord channel. And I will mention those are both free features. If you're considering signing up for a free Rec Poker account, I'll just remind you that all it takes is an email address and a smile. And while both are mandatory, I think you'll find that the value is undeniable. So come on over and sign up for a free community account here at Rec Poker. And you can post in the forums just like Chris Jones, who is the author of the hand tonight. Chris, you were looking at a hand that you played recently. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it, and then we'll get into the action.
Yeah, I played it yesterday at the Rec Poker Running Aces weekend. I guess it was 2 days ago now.
Well, it was a couple. It was probably about 6 weeks ago by the time people are listening.
Well, all right, whatever. But, so it was recently.
It's very fresh in Chris's mind.
This weekend, it was a blast of a weekend. It was great to see a lot of people show up for that. A lot of people wearing Rec Poker gear. It was fun to see dealers with Rec Poker patches on. It was so cool. It was really cool. It was just a really fun weekend. And this is the third tournament in the series. But they all played fairly similarly in that there was a mix of players, a lot of which I think people will recognize if they're playing in these sort of lower stakes daily live tournaments where there's a mix of skill level, there's a mix of approaches. And I was at a table that I think a lot of recreational players will find very familiar that was very loose and passive. There was a lot of limping, a lot of like calling. Most hands were going 3 to 5 ways to a flop. There was one player in particular at our table that I literally think they were VPipping about 85% of hands through calls, limps, or, you know, basically calls and limps.
So almost exclusively passive actions is what you mean, like
pretty much, yeah.
Maybe an open, but other than that, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Correct.
Okay. I know these players. Yeah.
Yep. So, and then there was one, involved in this hand, there was one, you know, fairly aggressive player who had been 3-betting, opening a lot. And then there was the other player who was at this table, not involved in this hand, was Captain Walleye, Rob Adsum. And he had just crippled me by beating, this is important for my, not a bad beat story, but it's important for the context of the story. I had ace king suited, he had queens, he won. I went from a very nice stack to a very not nice stack. And so great on Rob, boo on me. But there I am sitting with 13 big blinds in the big blind. And the other player involved in this hand is I would call the typical old man coffee. Very tight, very passive, not getting involved very much, and only getting involved to some aggressive degree when they have very good hands. So here, that's the context in which we're starting this off. Any questions, thoughts, ideas before I jump into the action?
You were short stacked. What were the other players?
The very passive loose player, the ever limping and calling all the time, is hitting everything, and he's just got tons of chips. The aggro player has rebought like four times, but has started to run up their stack. Everyone covers me in this hand. And then the old man coffee is just kind of like hanging around with more than me, but not a great stack. He's got about 30 big blinds here, but the other two players cover him in this, and I'm sitting there with 13.
Got it.
So starts off with the passive player, who actually opens this hand. It's a bit of a deviation for this player.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes around to the aggressive player, who calls. And then the old man coffee is in the small blind, who calls as well. And I am sitting in the big blind, 13 big blinds. I have 5 of spades, 6 of spades, and I elect to complete and see a flop. Maybe we can do something with this hand. I don't think it's one I want to get. I think this is a great hand to see a flop with, for one big blind, or it's like 1 point, you know, whatever big blind. I don't think it's that super controversial. So we go to the flop. Flop is, again, we have 5 of spades, 6 of spades. The flop is, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to see this flop. And, you know, if I see some decent equity, my chips are in the middle and I'm going to try to double up, or I'm going out. And I see a pretty lovely flop. The flop is 7 of spades, 6 of diamonds, 4 of diamonds.
Mm.
So I have an open ender. I've got a backdoor flush draw. I've hit middle pair. That's about as dreamy. I can imagine a better flop, but it's about as dreamy a flop as I could probably hope for with the 5 of spades, 6 of spades. The small blind old man coffee checks, and it is on me. And I think this is where I would start the conversation here. I'll tell you what I did, and then maybe we can talk about this decision. I checked, and I'm curious and I'm checking with the intention of check raising all in when I, you know, hopefully get a C-bet from somebody. But I'm wondering, given the fact that I've got this very loose passive player who is the original opener, and again, this very aggressive player is going to be the person who's closing the action. Do you ever lead out here on this flop with this holding, or do you like the check here?
So at this point, there's roughly 4 big blinds in the middle. We've got
there's like 10.
Oh, because he opened. Right. Yeah, I'm sorry. He opened. There's like, yeah. So there's 10 like in 9. The middle. And so we've got just barely more than that.
We have 12 behind, right?
Yeah. So the question is on this flop for me, it's just like, how are we getting our chips in? Is it better as a check raise, or is it better as a shove? Or I think the lead is the one that I like least.
Yeah, I guess I would either check or I would jam. I wouldn't lead small with this.
Yeah, leading puts you in the worst position of then having to call, as opposed to being the one to put the chips in. So, and it's tricky because you've got the one passive player and the one aggressive player. So it's not like you can count on action necessarily. Yeah, tricky. I don't know. What do you guys think? Kim, you've unmuted. Oh, we might have lost Kim, or maybe she's frozen.
Yeah, I think
there.
That.
Oh, here she is. Yeah.
Normally.
No, yeah. Go ahead.
I'm at the cottage, so I might not have good. Might not be too stable. I would normally think this is a great check raise spot, but because we're so shallow, I prefer with 10 big blinds in the pot, and we almost, and if we win this outright here, we almost double our stack, that I would like a shove here. Mm-hmm. I think when we call from the big blind and we get this, we just get our chips in.
I agree 100%. Another reason for that, obviously the stack size, but if you think about it, you're actually betting somewhat for protection because you're going to get some folds from some hands that you are currently ahead of, but have a lot of equity if a higher turns. If he turns a queen, king, or an ace, you're going to be very, very sad. Right? So you can get a lot of those types of hands to fold. So I think you got to use some of your fold equity there that you still have because you have a pot size bet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. Taylor?
I think I would be going for a check jam here, I think. I hear all the we're trying to get like folds, we're trying to get like equity out of there. I think that happens a lot because we would have to like have it check through for us to like not be able to jam on someone. And these games, it seems very likely that someone's going to throw out some sort of continuation bet or feeler bet, or, you know, some sort of bet is going to like find its way in on this flop, which is going to give us the opportunity to jam. And I'd like to jam into, you know, a few more chips into the pot. To me, that feels like a little bit better of an option. Like, I think lead jamming is all right. But I'd rather just try and like get a little bit more. And if it does check through, like, okay, then we can like play turns and rivers. And that may feel like really bad when it does check through and like a jack comes out on the turn or something like that. But then it also kind of, you know, we just get to that spot and then we play that spot.
Yeah. Kim?
No, it's okay. I just find that in these kind of fields, it often checks through. We're only, we have two players left to act. And I find that it will check through. People are afraid to bet when there's so many players in the hand on this type of a flop.
And we don't love a lot of turns. Like most of the turns are going to be bad for us.
There are some of them.
Yeah. But like a lot of the overcards that aren't spades are going to be bad for us. And we might have the best hand right now. Like the fact that one player has opened and not limped does make me think that they probably have either a decent pair or two high unpaired cards. I don't know. I wonder if we think that they are more likely to lead because their opening range is, you know, because they're starting with a stronger range and this is a bunch of undercards to what they have. I don't know. That might influence. What do you think, Chris, now that you've heard the panel here?
I mean, I still, especially given how, I think one of the things that went into this is I think I would count on, at this point, the player I've been watching who's been very aggressive and has rebought like four times. I'm fairly confident that when they see everybody check that they're going to bet a lot, even on a board like this. In fact, maybe especially on a board like this. They've just been somebody who, I think when they see passive play or when they see checks around and they're the last act, they're going to put a bet in and hope to take it down. And they've done that a number of times. But I'm still, I will admit that I did not consider the jam very much in this spot. I just kind of auto like checked because, you know, like that's what we do when we're in the blinds. And I think I should have considered it more. I think it's something that I didn't give enough thought or consideration to, especially how shallow I am.
In flow, it feels like a check raise is the like default spot here. Yeah.
So regardless, that's what I decided to do. And I am happily getting my chips in the middle is what I'm thinking right now. I'm like, please someone bet, please someone bet. And then the kind of changes because all hell breaks loose. The original raiser C bets, the aggressive player raises to about, so it's like he bets small. First of all, the original raiser bets small into about a pot of 10. He bets about three big blinds. The aggressive player that I've been describing raises to around 10 big blinds. And then the old man coffee small blind jams for 30 big blinds. And now it's back on me. And I'm of two minds here. I'm in trouble in this tournament. There's 35 left, 10 get paid. So I'm nowhere really near the money. I need more chips to be able to sort of approach some of the money. And this is a good spot. I've got lots of equity. I've got lots of outs. I have outs against everything. Nobody has 5-8 here, right? So like I have outs against everything. But I'm also like, what on earth? I sat there and I'm like, well, I was going to get all these in, but now what? And should I tell you what I did, or do we want to talk about this?
If anyone unmutes, three, yeah, Taylor.
I mean, it's interesting, and like we have equity, but it's not necessarily clean equity. The more we can get heads up, the better we feel about this type of spot, which is why I wanted to go for like the check raise option. Like that helps get it like heads up, but we've already seen some crazy action that makes us feel like we're probably going three ways, with the potential of maybe going four ways. So that makes me really worried, because now, okay, we're fading flush draws. We're probably have a chance of fading specific straight combos. Like, is our two pair combo going to be good if we get this in three ways and even four ways? Like, to me, that seems a bit scary. So that makes me really worried about like the opportunities in this spot. If I had the flush draw like type of draw that like I feel really confident about, like if I hit this, like I'm going to be good, I'm getting it in. But a straight draw, that straights are vulnerable. I feel a little bit more hesitant in this spot to be getting it in, especially with a tight player going to 30 big blinds against a raise and a re-raise already on this flop. So I think I'm going to fold and just kind of like wait for the next one. But man, this is tough.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty easy fold for me as well. I think that, and I've been watching some of these Tritons and some of these other series where this short stack play is phenomenal. That's coming in now. People are going super, super low and still being able to play poker. And I think that you're still left with, I think, 11 big blinds or something. And I think that's a ton of chips now since I've been watching these, that you don't have to be panicking there, and that you'll probably find a better spot to get your chips in.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to say, it's unanimous. I agree 100%. We fold here. I think you got very lucky in choosing the path that you did, because you would have probably been up against two or three players and your equity would just be shared across four players if you had gone all in, because it doesn't sound like anybody's going to be folding much.
That's true. That's a good point.
Does it? So let me ask this though, just as a count, because like I, this is the stuff that was going through my mind. So we've got a player who is just playing way too many hands, way too many cards, and probably was the lowest skilled player at the table. You know, just you know, they'll get there someday, but just not quite as skilled. And I think they could be doing this. It would not surprise me if this was like ace king, or something like that, that they c-bet here, right? And then the player who was taking that aggressive action was aggressive and could have recognized. So like there are a lot of if thens, right? I think that the 30 big blind shove is undoubtedly strength.
Yeah,
it is. I think it's a set or a nut flush draw and not much else. I think that's like pretty much the range. Maybe some like kind of over pairs, like an 8, 9s or 10s kind of thing, but I'm not even sure those are there. So if you thought the other two players were going to fold, and you think you're still up against that strong of a range, but it could include some flush draws that we're currently even ahead of right now. Is there any sense? Does that ever change your mind? Because it really started to change my mind. I'll tell you, I did fold this, but I really wanted to call.
I mean, it's a factor. It's definitely an addition. Like, you know, it should factor into your decision, but I'm not sure it tilts the scales enough out of the fold camp. I'm not sure. It's an interesting question. What do you think, Kim?
I think you're tending to think like I think when I'm in face with these kinds of spots, and that's I'm trying to put the players on the hands I want them to have, which is instead of like the full range of hands that they could have in this position. So if they have these hands, I'm still ahead of these hands. So kind of trying to put them on hands that you want them to have. But having said that, yeah, you're giving up your equity here, but yeah, I still think it's a fold. I think you did fold, so I think it's a good fold.
Yeah, it's only cost you one big blind, you know.
Right.
It's not like
and everyone folded, so the 30 big blind just kind of raked the pot, and that maybe even that made me feel worse about the fold when everyone else folded. But
yeah, of course.
I don't know. It's just an interesting spot because I feel like when we are, I agree, you know, short stack play, people are playing better, but you know, it's hard. I will say, I think it's harder to fight back from 10 big blinds in one of these daily tournaments where the levels are increasing and people are playing this loose and passive than it is in like a Triton. I think in a Triton, you can get away with a little bit more of this back and forth than you can in some of these sort of these kind of field tournaments. So yeah, but you know, we don't want to just punt off our stack either.
It would be really, really interesting to see what would have happened in this hand if you had open shoved that.
Yeah.
Flow. Yeah. Or not open shove, but second person to act shove.
Yeah.
If he does, so let's pretend we don't know what any of the players, well, we don't have to pretend. We don't know what any of the players have. Who do you think has the strongest range here? Like, is it the player?
Old Man Coffee has like the
right. So
huge, strong range.
So you don't care if the other players come along or not, right? Like he's the one that you're really behind.
But I think but the thing I thought about is it's a strong polarized range, right? And it really is sets, which I block, and flushes, which I don't. Or flush draws, which I don't. And there are actually more flush draws. The only flush draw that really sucks is ace seven of diamonds.
Right.
Because now he's beating us.
He's got with the pair. That.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. So there's actually more of those than there are sets.
And you're ahead
old
of
man
those.
Coffee, is old man coffee going to call, though, or is he going to shove his nut flush draw without having a pair?
I don't know. When you see that much, I don't know. It's a good question. It's a good question. Do you think they're only shoving sets? Because then maybe then it's just an easy fold.
It's what they like to shove. You know, that's the player type if you're putting them on it. I mean, especially look at that board. That's a scary as heck board for OMC there, sitting with, you know, the set or the overpair. And I think they do probably do it with some overpairs too there. Yeah, I'm still thinking fold. Thinking fold. So you can sleep well tonight, Chris.
All right.
Everyone agrees, I think. yeah, that was it was an interesting spot though. I think this is a spot that as we get short stacked, and you and Taylor are really good at this. I've seen Taylor just like smooth calling out of the blinds with some of these middle strength hands, to realize your equity. Cause you know, I think our friend Fareed Jatin would say that the risk of the cost of confrontation is low at this point when you have so few chips already. It's actually, cause I think recreational players like us, we think, oh, we're down to 12 big blinds, you know, 13 big blinds. All we can do is shove. When we get into, you know, multi-way pots like this, but I think calling and having to play poker post flop is a very savvy position.
I would say that I'm more often recover from a short stack spot in these kind of big blind kind of things where I call once and like and make a hand and kind of or make some equity and get, run it back than I do when I'm just, you know, shoving ace nine or ace 10 and unless it's against Taylor, because then I always hit. I really think like if calling from the big blind when you're short is something you should get very used to doing and comfortable doing. In fact, you should look forward to it, because I think it's a path to recovering towards a healthier stack a lot of the time.
Yeah, I've been when I watch the Inside the Mind of a Pro, and you'll see them get down. They'll take a beat or something. They'll get down, and you'll see them make some calls out of the big blind with some really marginal hands. But they're doing that because, like Fareed Jatin says, the cost of confrontation. And if you do happen to make a hand, you can all of a sudden double up. And if you double up from there, all of a sudden now you're healthy again. Whereas if you just jam and try to realize your equity with and add a little fold equity, you know, that another guy shows up with pocket aces, you're going to be just as dead as as you normally would be. So there's many times now today where in the past I may have just jammed because I'm down to 10 big blinds, that I'll just call out of the big blind and try to make a hand and then go on to the next one. And it seems to work.
Yeah. And it especially works if you're heads up versus a multiple player pot, because you can actually jam. If you're very short, you can just jam gut shot or better. Like you can, there's a lot that you can jam there.
Yeah, so, the old stop and
but
go.
But not versus, well, no, not a stop and go. Like the old stop and go was you call and you jam everything. Like that's what a true stop and go is. Now that's not a thing anymore. Now it's like you jam if you get any equity.
Yeah. So, the selective stop and go, the savvy stop and go.
Right.
Yeah. No, I like that. And I want to reinforce to our listeners that Chris is talking specifically about closing the action in the big blind. I think he would be much less likely to call out of the other positions where there's still players to act behind with some of these medium strength holdings that we're talking about.
It's a nightmare to do that anywhere
else. Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. That's a fold or shove. Now, is it fair to say that that's more of a fold or shove play when you're in this blind range from the button or the small blind or late position that you're going to be folding or shoving? But because you close the action, because you are already getting such a good price on this, you can call out of the big blind and see some flops and decide how to play post flop. Yeah, I see a lot of nods. Excellent audio podcast communication team. And so that's, I'm going to take that as an affirmative. Okay. Well,
yes.
Correcto, Jim.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Chris Jones, who does so much around here. And I want to reinforce. So listen, you've got some of the great poker minds here at Rec Poker on the show here tonight. You know, Taylor, Chris, and Rob, they all offer coaching through our shop here. If you want to get one-on-one with some of these guys and get some coaching on some hand histories or talk to these guys about how to play certain spots, if you go to rec.poker/coaching, you can see all the different Rec and Crew members that offer coaching. Once Kim gets a little more free time, we're going to get her onto the coaching panel here. But she just wants to give it away on the podcast for free. She's like, no way, man. I'm too busy working as a veterinarian, traveling around the world with my poker friends, winning hundreds of thousands of dollars, placing in the top of tournaments. No time for coaching recreational players right now, but we're going to get her one of these days. But Taylor, Chris, Rob, myself, there's a few other folks that really enjoy working with recreational poker players, and our prices are very reasonable, and we can definitely help you with some of these spots. If you found this episode to be illuminating, then check that out, rec.poker/coaching, and maybe we can get some one-on-one tailored work to bring your game to the next level. So thank you, Taylor, Chris, Rob, and Kim, Of course, thank you to the Running Aces Hotel, Racetrack, and Casino for your continued support. Thanks to all the premium members here at Wreck Poker. Thanks to the other Wrecking Crew members. And thanks to you, the listeners. We couldn't do it without you. So that'll sum it up for this week of the Wreck Poker podcast. See you next week. Bye. Bye.